Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Pastor Banda, good afternoon to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us this afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure indeed to have this opportunity.
Thank you very much, Pastor.
To be on Adventist World Radio to share our thoughts on godliness.
So we're talking about the various religious, the question of different perspectives of religious understandings on godliness. So we want to know about ours mostly, first and foremost. How does our belief system define and emphasize godliness?
Good question. Our belief as Adventists or as Christians in general, godliness, as we said it yesterday, is defined as a life devoted to Christ, reflecting his teachings and his character. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3-7 says his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Colossians also, when you read from chapter 3, verses 1-17, we're not reading the whole of it, but just a portion of it. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. So set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So we see that the emphasis in here is on righteousness,
okay,
humility, and adherence to biblical principles.
Yeah,
and that amounts to godliness.
Talk about biblical godliness. In what ways do scriptures or the Bible teachings guide individuals to embody these godly qualities?
Yeah, sure. Galatians chapter 5, 22-23 is a very key text in to answer this question. Christian teachings actually guide individuals to embody godly qualities through the fruits of the Spirit that are highlighted there. And probably let me just read this scripture. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And we can also understand this question when we get to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And we also see, we can also look at the command to love God and one's neighbor in Matthew chapter 22, verse 7 and 39. So we see that here Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So the Bible serves as a foundational guide for godly living. If we want to live a godly life, the answer is in the Bible, the Word of God.
Okay. All right. So how does your faith view the relationship between humanity and godliness?
Christianity emphasizes a personal relationship. And in this, I'm referring critically on Adventist faith.
Okay.
A personal relationship with God, promoting the idea that through faith, individuals can be transformed to reflect God's character or godly character. This relationship is nurtured through prayer, Sabbath observance, and studying God's word. So we can nurture this relationship, which is very critical for our relationship between humanity and godliness.
Let's talk about ethical and moral behavior, Mfundisi. How does this concept of godliness influence ethical and moral behavior in our religious traditions?
That question is really very, very important. When we are dealing with ethics and morality and our behavior. So the concept of godliness influences ethical and moral behavior by promoting integrity, honesty, and compassion in daily life. Following the teachings of Christ and the ethical principles outlined in the Bible, it guides Christians' conduct. For example, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24, it says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." And allow me also to quote Micah chapter 6, verse 8. "He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." So we see that these texts do help us to understand the ethical and moral behavior that should characterize a people that follow Jesus Christ.
Okay. All right. Let's be specific now. Are there specific rituals or practices within our faith that are considered expressions of godliness? Give us examples.
There are quite a number of rituals. And what are rituals? Actually, rituals are the practices of a given religion, practices of a given faith or belief. So definitely we have rituals or practices within our Adventist faith that are considered expressions of godliness. Seventh-day Adventists practices such as Sabbath observance is one of them, very critical, because it distinguishes them from the rest, you know. We cannot do away with regular prayer, because that is very, very critical in our intimate relationship with our God, and engagement in acts of service. You know, all these are considered expressions of godliness. Acts of service, kindness, you know, goodness. We are blessed to be a blessing to other people. So those beautiful acts need to be extended in our communities. So these rituals are aimed at fostering a deeper connection with God and reflecting his character in daily life.
Okay. I'm going to ask you my final question now, first, and then I'll let you go. How does our faith now address the question of suffering and the presence of godliness in challenging times?
The question of suffering is a very big question in Christianity, because many people have asked the question, if God exists, if God is love, why then suffering? If God is there, why then does he allow accidents? You know, if God is there, for example, now the world here in Africa, we are facing weather, the El Nino, which is very destructive. If God is love, why doesn't he protect his people? You see, so it's really a big question. So we view suffering as part of the human experience from the time that sin entered into this world. Everything changed, so we have those challenging experiences. So the presence of godliness in challenging times is emphasized through reliance on God's promises, prayer, and the hope of Christ's eventual return. Romans chapter 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And Psalm 34:18 also says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." And we can also think of Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. "He will wipe every tear from their eyes."
Yes.
"There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." So basically, that is how we view the question of suffering and the presence of godliness in challenging time.
Indeed, indeed. That's a beautiful, beautiful perspective and a beautiful way to end it there, Mfundisi. I appreciate it. Please pray for us, Mfundisi, before you walk away.
Thank you so much. Let us pray. God, we want to thank you for this understanding. We thank you for this platform that we can talk and discuss godliness. How we pray, Lord, for your grace. There are many people that are suffering today who do not understand why. We pray that by your grace you will visit them and bless them. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, that they be able to understand your love, your goodness, and the promise that you have of eternal life. A life without tears, with a life without pain, a life with challenges. So, Lord, we pray that you reveal these things to us and you help each one of them to answer to the call that you are extending to everyone, to give their lives to you and to walk with you. Thank you, God, for hearing and answering our prayer, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen to that, Pastor Bengai Moyo. Thank you very much for your time. Let's meet tomorrow. Same time, same place.
Amen.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.